It's Mardi Gras time. That seems to be the sentiments of thousands of people who have jammed New Orleans, ignoring the mayor's plea to stay out of the French Quarter. As one French Quarter bartender put it, it's the chance to be crazy that brings people out here. You can't do this in Milwaukee or New York or anywhere else. City police have been on strike since February 16th, the day before the start of the 11-day carnival season, which normally attracts 1 million people. State troopers and National Guardsmen have been patrolling the streets. United Farm Workers leader Cesar Chavez is expected to hold thousands of strikers from field to field in an attempt to shut down harvesting. Former President Richard Nixon has written an article appearing in a magazine aimed at the international business community, and under a bill now being introduced, experimental use of marijuana for medical purposes would be permitted. We'll have details on those California stories and much more when 91 News continues.
What goes up doesn't always come down, especially the heat in your house and the cost of it. If your income is low and your budget won't handle another expense, call the EOC Energy Program. They've got attic insulation to keep the heat inside where it belongs and weather stripping to keep the cold outside where it belongs. And it's all free to qualified families who are buying or renting a home. Call the EOC Energy Program at 544-4355. Remember, that's 544-4355.
91 News reporter Leslie Bensaka talked to members of the Presidential Selection Advisory Committee. Here's that feature now.
The Presidential Selection Advisory Committee is now in the process of selecting a replacement for retired Cal Poly President Robert E. Kennedy. The students at Cal Poly are being represented on the committee by Steve Bennett, a senior ag business major. Even though Bennett is the only student on the committee, he says he can still confidently represent the whole student body.
It would have been nice to have, you know, a majority of students on this committee, since the students are going to be directly affected by our next president. And I think it's also very impressive to set up a procedure such as the student summit did, and go through evaluations and interviews where they can come up with a candidate that is a limited student voice. And I think that's very impressive. Instead of having, say, for example, we have three faculty members, although they have maybe three times as much input as the students, it's always the same input. They're always agreeing with what they're going to say. So, one of the students agree.
So far, the committee is prepared material to advertise the position, but after the application deadline, February 15th, the 13 committee members begin reviewing all applications and interviewing 12 to 15 of the candidates before making their recommendation to the Board of Trustees. According to Bennett, the committee is looking for another president who will continue, as Kennedy has done, to learn by doing techniques at Cal Poly.
We have President Kennedy's attitudes, I think, in mind on our committee. He has kept the basic learn-by-doing philosophy that has come up through the years at Cal Poly from McPhee and now the Kennedy era, where he's really strengthened agriculture and engineering and architectural programs, and he's kept his eye on the other programs also to make sure that they are strong and support, you know, the rest of these technical fields. And I think the members of the committee want that same basic philosophy so that his views are in the back of our minds.
The student representative says that other qualities he is looking for in a president include someone with a technical background, who has also dealt with administrative procedures, and who has had a successful teaching experience. The Board of Trustees has set May 21st as their target date for selecting a new university president. This is Leslie Bensaka reporting for 91 News.
A public affairs presentation of KCPR, San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Sound.
In California news, the United Farm Workers leader Cesar Chavez is expected to lead thousands of strikers from field to field in California's Imperial Valley today in an effort to shut down harvesting. Authorities say 200 police officers from three counties have been placed on special alert, and Lieutenant Governor Mike Curb has ordered 40 California Highway Patrolmen to the area. Meanwhile, the State Agricultural Labor Relations Board will go into El Centro Superior Court to recommend that an injunction against mass picketing at three farms be extended to all of Imperial County. Former President Richard Nixon has written an article appearing in a new magazine aimed at the international business community. Nixon's article deals with the importance of trade. The managing editor of Showcase USA said yesterday in Los Angeles that the publication already has been mailed to foreign businessmen. Buzz Schwartz adds the magazine will be distributed solely overseas and will be delivered to the People's Republic of China by the State Department and trade delegations. Experimental use of marijuana for medical purposes would be permitted under a bill approved by an assembly committee. Yesterday's approval came after testimony that the illegal drug can relieve the suffering of cancer patients. Researcher Phyllis Lesson says she gets hundreds of calls from people suffering from glaucoma and cancer who obtain the substance illegally. The Assembly Health Committee approved a bill by Democratic Assemblyman Herschel Rosenthal of Los Angeles on a 7-4 vote. The measure has been sent to the Assembly Ways and Means Committee. Now here's a report on the Board of Regents from Bruce Tokars of the University of California.
Regents of the University of California have reviewed and rejected charges that they were misled by university administrators in the case of Robert Bradfield, a former UC employee now on disability insurance, after a prolonged dispute with the university over misconduct. The action came in response to allegations by the American Federation of Teachers that the regents had acted without full knowledge and with incorrect information provided by key administrators in approving the promotion of Jerome Siebert, Associate Director of Cooperative Extension, to an assistant vice president of the university. Siebert, as associate director of cooperative extension, was a central figure in Bradfield's charges that he had been improperly dismissed as a cooperative extension nutrition specialist and that his mail had been illegally opened. The teachers union charged that subsequent investigations of the Bradfield case were not conducted properly, if in fact they had been conducted at all. David Wilson, executive assistant to UC President David Saxon, told the regents at their Los Angeles meeting that a review was conducted concerning Bradfield's charges. Wilson says the review was complete and that the regents had been fully appraised of his findings. In his statement to the regents, Wilson said that no other personnel case in this decade had been as thoroughly investigated, reviewed, and re-reviewed. Countless hours of staff time had been devoted to it. He said in sheer volumes of paper, Bradfield's case was one of a kind. Wilson told the regents they had been kept fully informed of the case, and as far as the regents are concerned, they seem to be satisfied that they were not misled and that the charges are without merit. From the University of California, this is Bruce Tokars reporting.
Fair skies are expected through tomorrow in San Luis Obispo and the surrounding areas, with invariable low clouds in late tonight and Wednesday. Northwesterly winds will blow 10 to 20 miles per hour and will decrease later today. Currently, the temperature is 36 degrees in Paso Robles, 39 degrees in Atascadero, 57 in Arroyo Grande, 59 in Santa Maria, and here in San Luis Obispo, it's 66 degrees. 91 News will return with more news.
You're sure about this, Paul? No second doubts?
Nope. No ifs.
This is for lifetime, you know.
No maybes.
What about smoking, if it's for a long lifetime?
No buts.
Sign that into your marriage contract. For life and breath. No ifs, no maybes, no buts. Quitting is tough. Lung disease is tougher. For quitting help, write your Lung Association. They bring you this public service message because they care about every breath you take.
In local news, today is the last day to pick up absentee ballots for the upcoming San Luis Obispo city elections. The ballots may be obtained in the city clerk's office until 5 this evening. Ballots may be obtained later, only in emergency cases. The March 6th election will select a new mayor and city council. The Mustang Boosters Club recently elected new officers for the 1979-80 season at their annual meeting at the Breakers Restaurant. Rick Worthen, who chaired the club's scholarship fund drive last spring and summer, was elected president. Chosen for the vice president's positions were Charlie Cam, Rick Rakulia, and Frank Sheehan. Roger Davis will take over the secretary position, and Mil Barbica was retained as treasurer. 91 News reporter Leslie Bensaka spoke with the San Luis Obispo mayor, Kenneth Schwartz, about the upcoming election and his decision to run.
Kenneth Schwartz, the incumbent mayor candidate in the upcoming election, announced earlier that he would not be running again for San Luis Obispo mayor. He explained why he changed his mind and in a grace.
And I, of course, was persuaded partially because of the support that people were giving me for what I had done and what they thought I should continue to do. And also because by that time, others had declared their intention to run. And of course, people looked at those people and had some apprehensions about them.
Schwartz is running for a sixth term as mayor of San Luis Obispo. This is Leslie Bensaka reporting for 91 News.
An evening of theater performances will be offered Thursday night in Cal Poly's Studio Laboratory Theater. The offbeat comedy Out at Sea will be directed by Cal Poly student Kurt Kisling. The play offers a comical look at three shipwreck survivors who, with exhausted food supplies, must decide which of the three will be eaten. Another performance, A Slight Ache, is an ironic comedy directed by Cal Poly graduate student Susan Jacobson. The play is a domestic comedy about a wife who leaves her husband. The performances are part of a directing course offered by the Speech Communications Department. Curtain time is 8 Thursday evening in room 212 of the H.P. Davidson Music Center. Admission is free and the public is invited. The Interfraternity Council will be donating some trees to the new library complex. 91 News talked to Randy Donut, advisor of the IFC, and he explained what was happening.
Currently, the fraternities and sororities are making a request to donate 7 trees in the library quad area. And there's been some problems with the negotiating with the Campus Planning Commission. We're hoping that everything will be cleared and finalized by Greek Week.
There will be a question and answer session with Iranian students to discuss the causes, effects, and aims of the Islamic Revolution in Iran in Mustang Lounge on Thursday, March 1st at 7:30 in the evening. The discussion is sponsored by the Muslim Students Association. The Board of Trustees Committee on Campus Planning, Buildings, and Grounds will meet in Long Beach tomorrow to consider plan revisions at the Cal State Northridge and Los Angeles campuses. The committee will also consider schematic plans for a child care center at the San Bernardino campus and a parking project at Los Angeles. Informative items concerning bids on services at several campuses will also be presented. The top story of the hour, President Carter has called on China to undertake a speedy withdrawal from Vietnam. Carter's statement is contained in a message given to top Chinese leaders by Treasury Secretary Michael Blumenthal in Peking today. Blumenthal has met for more than an hour with Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping and volunteered to reporters afterward that he had given Deng the message that Carter wanted him to give. Blumenthal said, "I conveyed the position of the United States government with respect to the Chinese move into Vietnam and indicated our opposition to that move and our hope that there will be a speedy withdrawal from Vietnam." It was the bluntest statement to date of U.S. opposition to the war. Deng said before his meeting in Peking with the Treasury Secretary that the invasion is a limited war that will not last a long time. Deng also said it should not risk a world conflict. 91 News reporter Wayne Jackson has an interesting feature on the current sporting craze of racquetball.
Out of the 91 News files, A to Z under America's gaining weight. The word is out that Americans are spreading out, not all over the country, but all over the table. The eating table. That's right, Americans, both men and women, are getting fatter. A government study released on Monday said that since the early 1960s, men and women, depending on their height, gained an average of 1 to 14 pounds. And these significant weight gains can be attributed to the quick lunch, the snack bar, and the haste with which Americans eat. The report was filed by Sidney Abraham, who has been assembling reports on nutritional habits for the National Center for Health Statistics for years. There was one group of people who didn't show any gain over the years, and that is women over the age of 55. The study also showed that weight increases were greater among taller people. So, for Americans, the trend is eating. And the new slogan around the country may soon be, "Thin may be in, but fat's where it's at." That's from A to Z under America's Gaining Weight.
Here's a tax tip from the Internal Revenue Service. If you're a working parent who paid a babysitter or childcare facility to watch your children, you may be eligible for a tax credit. Don't overlook this important benefit if you paid childcare in 1978. You can get IRS Publication 503 on child care by using the mail order form in your tax package or by calling the IRS toll-free number listed in your telephone directory.
Former world featherweight champion Bobby Chacon stopped Shig Fukuyama in Japan in the fifth round of their scheduled 10-round junior lightweight bout last night. The 27-year-old Chacon landed almost everything he threw at his opponent, and referee James Jenkins stopped the bout at 1 minute 23 seconds into the fifth round. Although Chacon controlled the fight virtually all the way, Fukuyama scored the only knockdown. Chacon had his opponent pinned to the ropes when Fukuyama landed a wild right that sent Chacon into the canvas. But he bounced up immediately before dropping back to a knee to take the mandatory 8 count. The victory gives Chacon of Silmar, California a 41-1 record. He has stopped 36 of his foes. Fukuyama has lost his last 5 fights and is now 34-10. Don Luce fired home 2 goals last night to lead the Buffalo Sabres past the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-1. Luce's first goal tied the game at 1-1 in the second period after Lanny McDonald had opened the scoring for the Leafs in the opening stanza. Luce then scored the winner by tipping home Jerry Korep's blue line drive with less than 8 minutes to play. The win gives the Sabres sole possession of second place in the Adams Division, 2 slim points ahead of Toronto. Los Angeles rookie goalie Mario Lassard posted his 2nd shutout over Vancouver this season, and Marcel Dion fired his 43rd goal of the National Hockey League campaign for a 2-0 victory over the Canucks. The win put the Kings back in 2nd place behind idle Pittsburgh Penguins of the Norris Division. Lassard, who recorded his third whitewash of the season, helped the Kings raise their season mark against the Canucks to 2-1-0. Vancouver has only won once in its last 8 games with a 1-5-2 mark. A report from Toronto says the NHL Players Association will ask the league owners to reduce the regular season schedule by 10% beginning next season. The Toronto Globe and Mail says that the players have discussed accepting a 10% pay cut in return for reducing the number of games from 80 to 72. Butch Waltz may have Guillermo Vilas' number on the tennis court. Waltz downed the Argentine ace during last summer's U.S. Open in New York, and he pulled the first upset of the year of this year's U.S. Indoor Tennis Championships in Memphis, Tennessee last night by knocking off the second seed of Vilas 7-6, 7-6. Waltz won both sets by taking the tiebreaker 7-5. 7th-seeded Roscoe Tanner, 9th-seeded Tim Gullickson, and 15th-rated Buster Matram were also winners in yesterday's opening round action. Forward Ollie Mattson scored 26 points last night to lead Pepperdine to a 104-86 non-conference basketball victory over Centenary. The victory at Los Angeles helped longtime Waves coach Gary Colson close his stint at the school on a winning note. Colson, Pepperdine's coach since 1968, has announced he is quitting to pursue outside business interests. Mattson, a senior playing his final game for the Waves, had 10 rebounds. Senior guard Ray Ellis added 17 points for the Waves, and guard Ricardo Brown had 14 points and 11 assists. Guard Wayne Wagoner scored 33 points for Centenary, and forward George Lett added 28. The Waves, who closed out their season with a 21-9 record, led 58-47 at halftime and pulled steadily away in the second half. Centenary's season record drops to 9 wins and 18 losses. The University of Miami hired Charlie Thornton as its new athletic director. He replaces Lou Saban, who resigned as football coach and athletic director, to take over at coach as Army. Thornton has been the assistant athletic director at Alabama. Athletes and coaches receive the majority of their publicity in college athletics, but there is another person who perhaps of equal importance who receives very little attention. That person is athletic trainer. In this 2-part miniseries, 91 Sports reporter Dave Bonta talks to Cal Poly trainer Steve Yonita.
Every year the football players keep getting bigger and stronger. Do you think that maybe better or more equipment can help protect the player?
I don't think that we can get any better equipment than we have now. They may get better plastics or things like that to make the cutting and helmet more efficient, but I think that scientifically that we're about as far as we can get in protective equipment. It's just the fact that you say bigger and stronger athletes are going to cause bigger and stronger collisions.
A lot of the stadiums in this country, like in the early 70s and late 60s, start putting AstroTurf in. And what is the short and long-term effect of it, if there is any, on injuries because of AstroTurf?
I am almost 100% against artificial surface because it's too firm. If you ever had the opportunity to walk on an AstroTurf field or run on an AstroTurf field without ever having done it before, your knees and your ankles will be sore no matter how little you run out. You can just run 100 yards up and down the field and you can feel the effects of it on your knees. It's worse than trying to run that distance on a wooden floor or something like that.
In the final segment of our interview, Steve Yonita will talk about injuries and the use of painkillers. That's a look at 91 Sports for this half hour. We'll have more sports in 25 minutes. I'm Jay Burks reporting. Now here's Tom Hitchcock with the top stories of the hour.
The top story of the hour this hour, President Carter has called on China to undertake a speedy withdrawal from Vietnam. Carter's statement is contained in a message given to top Chinese leaders by Secretary of Treasury Michael Blumenthal in Peking today. Blumenthal met for more than an hour with Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping and volunteered to reporters afterwards that he had given Deng the message that Carter wanted him to give. Blumenthal said, "I conveyed the position of the United States government with respect to the Chinese move into Vietnam and indicated our opposition to that move and our hope there will be a speedy withdrawal from Vietnam." It was the bluntest statement to date of U.S. opposition to the war. Deng said before his meeting in Peking with the Treasury Secretary that the invasion is a limited war that will not last a long time. Deng also said it should not risk a world conflict. Earlier we had technical difficulties, but now we have that story by 91 News reporter Wayne Jackson on the recent sporting craze of racquetball. Once again, we're having technical difficulties with that program. We'll get it for you sooner or later. Now we'll go on to some information from A to Z.
Out of the 91 News files, from A to Z, under schooling.
This story from Princeton, New Jersey, where we look into the hallowed halls of academia. A recent poll conducted by George Gallup reveals that 63% of teenagers surveyed said that they would favor having to pass a nationwide exam in order to obtain their high school diploma. It's back to basics in schools these days, and one teacher summed it up when she said, "I don't know whether they think they're getting off easy by letting kids graduate who can barely read or write. They're only putting off the problem. Wait till these kids have to cope with the adult world and find out that they can." Even within the halls of higher education, teachers are worried that their students will not be able to compete in today's world because they do not know enough when they graduate. And today's educators are thinking that maybe they'd better do more to prepare kids for the real world and give them more of an overall education. That's from A to Z under schooling.
Cataract is one of the leading causes of visual impairment and blindness in this country, affecting nearly a million more people every year. Cataract is a cloudiness in the lens of the eye which interferes with vision. Although most kinds of cataract cannot be prevented, sight lost from this disease can usually be restored through surgery. Cataract surgery is one of the most successful operations performed today. That's right, from 90 to 95% of all cataract operations are successful. Yet, this operation is often needlessly feared. Cataract surgery is an opportunity to regain lost sight. It is safe, painless, and usually requires only a brief stay in the hospital. And surgery is the only scientifically proven method of treating cataract. An informative booklet, Cataract, Focus on Research, has been prepared by the National Institutes of Health and is available free to the public. For your copy, write to Radio, National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland, 20014.
This is 91 News, all day, from KCBR, San Luis Obispo.
Tim Tomasic is at the editor's desk. Rusty Scherer is engineering. I'm Liz Hollemeyer. A 20-year-old Grover City man has been convicted of fraud. We continue with our look at the candidates for the San Luis Obispo City Council. The rock group Ambrosia will be performing at Cal Poly this Sunday, and a new identification system for farm equipment has been proposed because of an increase in rural thefts. We'll have details on all the local happenings as 91 News continues.
As a public service, we present some simple ways to let crime move into your neighborhood.
Hey, Frank.
Hyatt, I just wanted to tell you, while you were out, a TV repairman came and picked up your set.
What's the matter with it?
There's nothing wrong with my TV.
Good heavens, Frank. You mean you've been robbed?
Not my brand-new $500 color TV.
Jim, it's been over an hour now, and that strange man's still parked outside. Jim?
What do you care? He's not in front of our house, so mind your own business. If more neighbors watched out for each other, fewer people would become victims of crime. If you notice something suspicious going on in your neighborhood, don't ignore it. Report it. For a free booklet on neighborhood crime prevention, call toll-free 800-952-5558. That's 800-952-5558. Good neighbors protect each other, so call today. Don't be a pigeon. The proceeding was a public service announcement of this station and the California Crime Resistance Task Force.
20-year-old Rover City man has been convicted of welfare fraud. Kevin Riggs has that story.
A 20-year-old Rover City man has been convicted in a Superior Court trial of welfare fraud. Randall Jensen was convicted of taking more than $1,800 in cash and food stamps under a program known as Aid for Families with Dependent Children. Jensen, an employee at the Ghost Body Shop in Arroyo Grande, committed the fraud during a period from December 1976 to August of 1978. Was sentenced by Judge Richard Kirk Crafton to 90 days in jail, a $500 fine, and an order to make restitution. The Department of Social Services investigated the Jensen's arrest and subsequent conviction. This is Kevin Riggs reporting for 91 News.
91 News continues with part three of a four-part series on the candidates running for San Luis Obispo mayor. Here's 91 News reporter Nancy Bauer. 36-year-old James Adair is currently a sports official and manages the San Luis Obispo Officials Association. Adair was born and raised in Fresno County until he joined the Air Force, where he served in Vietnam. Adair graduated from Cal Poly with a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration. He is active in church and community groups and feels that his lifestyle is such that if elected mayor, he would have the time to be available to citizens. He says he is not interested in personal gain, serve the entire community. For 91 News, I'm Nancy Bauer. Due to widespread concerns in the increased number of rural thefts, San Luis Obispo County Farm Bureau is developing a program for the identification of farm machinery and equipment. A system using a coded number stamp on equipment will help the county's Crime Prevention Center trace the machinery to the state, county, and individual owner from where it was stolen. Anyone interested in more information on the program can contact the Farm Bureau office on Tang Farm Road or call 543-3654. On this Sunday night, Shumash Auditorium will be filled with the sounds of rock group Ambrosia. The group is scheduled one showing for 8 in the evening. Tickets for the festival seating concert will be $6.50 in advance. Tickets can be purchased at Boo Boo Records and Cheap Thrills for the general public. Tickets will be $7.50 at the door. Cal Poly students can purchase advance tickets only at the ticket desk in the University Union for $6. Age limit for the concert is 16, and proof of age may be requested. Postmodern Architecture is the title of a lecture to be given by widely published historian Charles Jenks. The speech is given is presented as part of a continuing series of campus talks by distinguished architects and architectural historians. Jenks' lecture will begin at 8 o'clock Thursday evening in the Poly Theater, and admission is free. For more information concerning the series, contact the Public Affairs Office at 546-2576. Bufo, a different style of mime, will be presented on the Cal Poly campus Thursday evening, March 1st, in Shumash Auditorium at 7:30. A graduate of Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Clown College in Florida, Bufo's act includes singing, acting, and a combination of body movements with sound that is unique for mime. Tickets for the event will be sold at the University Union ticket desk in advance and at the door prior to the performance. Tickets for the show are $3 for the general public and $2 for students. The public is invited to attend. Is the Fun of the Funnies Gone? Is the title of the last of the humor series of the Arts and Humanities presentation this quarter. Dale Hale is expected to discuss, are comic strips and cartoons as funny as they used to be? Has censorship hurt the comic strip and cartoon shorts? And is there still a problem with violence in TV cartoons? The program will be held on Thursday morning at 11 in room 220 of the University Union. Admission is free. Temperatures in the San Luis Obispo and the surrounding areas are currently 36 degrees in Paso Robles, 39 degrees in Atascadero, 57 degrees in Arroyo Grande, 59 degrees in Santa Maria, and 56 degrees in San Luis Obispo. There's more news coming up when 91 News returns.
KCPR is making Monday night the night to listen to the radio. Every Monday night at 9, KCPR presents An Hour With. An Hour With is 1 hour of uninterrupted music with your favorite group. Make Monday night your night to listen to the radio. Join KCPR and the Sheriff for An Hour With every Monday night right here on KCPR.
In national headlines, President Carter asked Congress Monday to give him power to order gas rationing, weekend gas station closings, and two other measures designed to prevent a major oil emergency. TWA canceled some of Tuesday's flights between major American cities because of a shortage of Iranian oil, and Arco Petroleum Company announced that, beginning Thursday, its supplies will be strictly allocated. The Iranian government announced today that a former general and 28 members of the Shah secret police who fled to Pakistan were arrested there and returned to Tehran to stand trial for crimes against the new regime. The results of the latest Camp David summit meeting are unclear. The Egyptian press reported a draft peace agreement has been reached, but the U.S. State Department denies it. We'll have the details on these stories and all the national news at 12 minutes after the hour. 91 News reporter Bev Sassenberry has an interesting feature on the latest music craze, disco.
Scott Hallquist is taking Cal Poly's motto, Learn by Doing, at its word. Scott, an ornamental horticulture major who plans to earn a master's in business administration, recently purchased PJ's, a local disco.
I was looking to build one in San Luis Obispo, and a place where students can go and have a good time. It has a little class, and PJ's went up on the market, and so I decided I'd do it there.
Scott is not a novice in the business world. In the past, he's operated a small-scale landscaping business and has also been dealing in real estate in San Luis Obispo. PJ's is Scott's latest project. The disco attracts about 1,000 customers in the 3 days a week it is open. Scott explained not many people from Cal Poly attend because of a misconception that PJ's is overrun with high school students. Since he bought PJ's in December, Scott has spent every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night learning about his investment, which won't be out of escrow until March. One of Scott's goals for PJ's is to provide a night spot for people under 21. Although many aspects of PJ's will remain the same, such as the age limit of 18, the absence of alcohol, and the price of admission, Scott has planned some changes. In early March, a renovated PJ's will open under the new name Station 51.
It's going to have an antique firehouse type of thing. There'll be a lot of lights, a lot of activity, and there's always a lot of noise, and just make it a really exciting place to go. So you don't have to go there just to dance, there'll be other things to do.
Plans are also underway to open the disco on Wednesday nights as something similar to the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, which features young comics. The approval of the County Planning Commission is necessary for a move like this, but Scott is already beginning negotiations for a possible appearance by Robin Williams of Book and Mindy fame. Despite Scott's business know-how, there is always the possibility that he has bought into a fad that is on his way out, but Scott doesn't see it that way.
I don't really think it's a fad. Fads usually don't last too long at all. Disco's been around on the East Coast for about 15 years now, and it's just started to come to California in the last year. And at first, a lot of larger clubs in the L.A. and San Francisco area were pretty leery of it, and now they're starting to go disco. I'm not going to be totally confined to it as far as if disco music starts to fade out, then we'll play whatever people want to dance to. People are always going to want to dance to something, but I think disco's going to be around for a long time.
With his business experience and creativity, Scott Hallquist should be around for a long time, too. This is Bev Sassenberry reporting for 91 News.
A public affairs presentation of KCPR, San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Sound.
How's your blood pressure? Don't know? Well, you should, because undetected and untreated high blood pressure can be a killer. It can lead to heart disease, hardening of the arteries, kidney disease, and even blindness. But you can control high blood pressure if it's detected and treated early. Getting your blood pressure checked is quick and painless. Just visit your local health clinic or your doctor. For a free copy of the booklet, watch your blood pressure, send a postcard to the Consumer Information Center, Colorado, 81009.
Folk gospel singer and songwriter Pam Mark Hall will appear in concert Saturday, March 3rd at the First Baptist Church of San Luis Obispo. The free concert is open to the public and begins at 7:30 in the evening. The event is sponsored by the Cal Poly Roger Williams Fellowship. Don't miss this opportunity to hear Pam Mark Hall, free March 3rd at the First Baptist Church of San Luis Obispo.
Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko called on the Chinese to end their aggression against Vietnam and added that the invasion is doomed to failure. In Peking, Vice Premier Deng expressed hope that his troops would be pulled out within 33 days, but he said the battle could last longer. Deng doubted that the Soviet Union would get involved in the fighting, but at the same time, he said China is prepared for that risk. U.S. Treasury Secretary Michael Blumenthal, in Peking for Economics Talks, has scheduled a meeting with Deng tomorrow. Sources said they will discuss the war in that meeting. Sources in Washington say President Carter asked Congress today to give him power to order gasoline rationing, weaken gas station closings, plus two less stringent mandatory fuel-saving measures. The reason? To prepare for a possible grave energy emergency. Although the president's request was sent officially to the House and the Senate this afternoon, the White House says details will not be announced publicly until tomorrow afternoon. ARCO Petroleum Products Company announced today that it will begin strict allocation of gasoline and oil products on Thursday. A company spokesman says the loss of crude oil supplies from Iran forced him to order cutbacks to all ARCO customers. ARCO Vice President George Babkin says the situation in Iran has brought company reserves to very low levels. Babkin went on to warn that increased driving during the upcoming summer months may bring on a fuel crisis. Five men were sentenced in Elizabethton, Tennessee today for raping four teenage girls last summer. The girls who took the stand saying in hushed voices that the men were all armed with rifles and knives when they came into the girls' camp, mountain campsite. The teenagers testified that they were held and assaulted for 3 hours before the men left. One of the girls became pregnant after she was raped. She told the court the pregnancy was legally aborted. On a plea bargaining arrangement, all the men pleaded guilty to the charges. Each was sentenced to 10 to 15 years in the Tennessee State Prison. Senator Herman Talmadge told reporters today that he admits to being an alcoholic, but he will not blame his personal problems on his drinking. The Georgia Democrat was recently divorced and now faces charges that he padded Senate expense accounts and kept a bank account for secret campaign contributions. Talmadge says he's only found out about the accounts during an audit last year. There is a new relationship between drugs and computers. Bob Han of the California Medical Association has a story on that.
Physicians are now being helped by a computer at the University of Southern California to determine medications needed by their patients. Based on the patient's weight, age, we will be able to make reasonable predictions of metabolism rate. So we can then place an initial dose in the body that stands a good chance of doing a certain job that we want to use the drug.
That's Dr. Roger Shelloff of the USC School of Medicine. He says the drug computer is showing a dramatic success with heart patients.
Using the computer programs to do this, we've seen much more firm control of rhythm disturbances, much more rapidly, with no increase in problems with that, and with a real benefit in the reduction of cardiac arrest.
This is Bob Hahn reporting from Los Angeles.
Another 300 United Farm Worker Union members joined the nearly six-week-old walkout in the Imperial Valley today, bringing to 4,500 the number of farmhands on strike against 11 vegetable growers. The Sheriff's Department, meantime, reported that picketing by about 600 UFW members was peaceful in the valley. The latest walkout involves 300 employees of Gourmet Harvesting, an asparagus grower, who walked off their jobs at the firm's packing house. Although there were no new violence, Acting Governor Mike Curb said 40 California Highway Patrolmen were being dispatched to the Imperial County to help the Sheriff's Department keep the peace. Sheriff Orrin Fox previously had asked for the National Guard to be sent in, claiming his department's financial resources has been drained by the lengthy strike. Black Panther leader Huey Newton exercised his right to turn down the judge at his murder trial delay in the proceedings one more day. Tomorrow, he'll be assigned a new judge, and the case will get underway immediately. He doesn't have the right to reject a second judge. Newton is charged with the murder of a younger Oakland prostitute 4 years ago before he fled to Cuba. Police are holding a Barstow High School student in this morning's shooting of three of his classmates. They say the unidentified suspect opened fire with a small handgun during a break. One 16-year-old boy was shot in the head, another in the right shoulder and left hip. A 15-year-old girl suffered superficial arm wounds. Today, San Diego proceedings in the rape and mutilation case of a 15-year-old girl were secret. The case will be open to the public after 60 potential jurors are chosen. Today's pretrial motions were closed at the request of both the defense and the prosecution. Larry Singleton has pleaded innocent to charges including kidnap, rape, and attempted murder in connection with the attack on Mary Vincent, a runaway from Las Vegas. More news when 91 News continues.
Did you know that Boston is coming to the Los Angeles Forum? How about Ted Nugent and Aerosmith to the Coliseum in Los Angeles? Everybody knows the Grateful Dead are coming to Oakland. You didn't know? You could have found out. You could have found out simply by listening to KCPR's statewide concert scene.
Atlanta, Georgia! Are you ready to rock and roll? Well, please welcome from New York City, Blue Oyster Cult!
KCPR's statewide concert scene is a listing of major concerts in the Bay Area, Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, and right here in San Luis Obispo. KCPR's statewide concert scene, another presentation of the Public Affairs Department of your campus radio station, KCPR.
Out of the 91 news files, from A to Z,
under Floating Cat House. This story from the Netherlands, where plans are underway to stage a floating brothel and sex center in Rotterdam, the world's busiest harbor. They say that a more liberal lifestyle is tolerated in the Netherlands, but this time, folks think that things have gone too far. In a real twist of fate, one of the groups against the floating brothel are the Ladies of the Night themselves. The floating ship, known as the Eros Center, will hurt business, they claim, because everything will come out in public. But the city fathers in Rotterdam are hoping to concentrate Rotterdam's thriving sex industry into one abandoned area of the harbor, thereby keeping things under control. But lots of citizens in Rotterdam think that by having a well-publicized sex center, the city will be cheapened. That's from A to Z under Floating Cat House.
Two of college basketball powerhouses rolled on toward the upcoming NCAA playoff easy victories last night. Notre Dame got 17 points and 13 rebounds from Bill Laimbeer as the Fighting Irish whipped East Carolina 89-72. And Syracuse ran its record to 24-2 by pulverizing crosstown rival Lemoyne 92-60. Ron Cornelius of the University of the Pacific was named the Pacific Coast Athletic Association Player of the Week as the Tigers won their first PCAA basketball title. A sophomore forward from Santa Ana, Cornelius scored 22 points on last Thursday's 84-77 loss to Utah State. He had 19 Sunday as the Tigers clinched the title with a 96-84 victory over San Jose State. The 6'9" Cornelius hit 67% of his floor shots in the two games and pulled down a total of 18 rebounds. The Humboldt State Lumberjacks will represent the Far Western Conference in the NCAA Division III basketball tournament at Mission, Kansas. The Lumberjacks share the FWC Conference title with three other teams. They will face Whittier on Friday night at Whittier in the West Regional. The winner of that contest will face Chaminade or William Penn in Saturday's final. Humboldt, Cal Davis, Hayward State, and Chico State finished FWC play last weekend with 8-4 records. The Lumberjacks had the best overall season record of the foursome, 17-8. Not even a day's delay could stop defending champion Jane Blaylock from successfully defending her title in the LPGA Orange Blossom Classic in St. Petersburg, Florida. Blaylock fired a 2-under par 70 in yesterday's rain-delayed final round for a 54-hole total of 11-under par 205. That's two shots better than the old tournament record, and six shots better than runner-up Sandra Post. In the first part of our interview with athletic trainer Steve Yonita, the Cal Poly trainer discussed football equipment and AstroTurf. In a related subject, I talked to Yonita and asked him about injuries.
What are some of the different types of injuries you run into in, let's say, from football to basketball to wrestling?
Majority of the injuries are lower extremity type injuries, primarily because I guess most of the body's weight is borne by the foot, and then as you work up, it gets less and less. But the ankle, foot and ankle are probably the most problems that we have, and then the knee, and then we work up into the shoulder for those events that go through the throwing motion, such as baseball and volleyball and the javelin throwers and the quarterbacks.
Does football, because it is a contact sport, have most majority of the injuries compared to the other sports?
Well, I think if you had 65 people participating in wrestling, that you would probably see the same number of injuries. Because it's not a contact sport necessarily, dancing is kind of a contact sport. Football is a collision sport.
Basketball player Bill Walton raised a stir this summer when he announced he did not want to play for the Portland Trail Blazers because of their use of painkilling drugs in the treatment of his injury. We asked Yonita if Cal Poly uses painkilling drugs in their treatment of injuries.
I think that's kind of a misnomer. It's a pain-relieving medication. I think if you use the term drugs, it kind of sounds like you got them on the streets. I like to use the term medication. We don't use the pain relievers just so the athlete can participate. We use pain relievers for the medicinal purposes, but not to put an athlete that's injured into the field to participate. That's totally against my philosophy and the philosophy of the coaching staff. The games aren't that important. You still have to realize that it's a game.
Whose decision is it, though, to use a pain-relieving medication?
That's the decision of our team physician in conjunction with the athlete. Of course, the athlete always has the final say on anything, whether it's surgery or anything like that.
It's no coincidence that so many of the teams having problems this season are clubs without first-rate point guards. Boston tried to go without two big guards this season and went nowhere. Only when JoJo White was traded and Tony Archibald became a starter alongside Chris Ford did the Celtics perk up. Denver has plenty of high scorers on its roster, but it's barely over 500. Part of the problem is that neither David Thompson nor Charlie Scott fits the mold of point guard. Chicago has been unable to find a replacement for Norm Van Leer, so center Artis Gilmore's fine season has been wasted for a want of a point guard. Houston thought it would challenge for the championship after it signed Rick Barry as a free agent. When NBA Commissioner Larry O'Brien awarded the Rockets point guard John Lucas to Golden State as compensation, Houston's title hopes took a tumble. And New York was expecting young Ray Williams to blend with Bob McAdoo in a fast-paced running game, but Williams continued to commit too many turnovers, so the Knicks decided that they had to change their style of play, and McAdoo was traded to Boston. That's a look at 91 sports for this half hour. We'll have more sports in 25 minutes. I'm Dave Bonner reporting. Now here's Liz Hallamar with the top stories of the hour.
The drifting Great White Streamer, which for 50 years shuttled millions of passengers to Santa Catalina Island from the mainland, may have finally found a home. The Avalon City Council has agreed to accept the SS Catalina as a Queen Mary-style tourist attraction if the ship's owners restore the ship from its battered condition and sign a lease that protects Avalon from financial liability. Brothers Gene and Gary Weber of Bellflower have leased the ship from financier Jaime Singer. The Webers want to turn it into a restaurant, disco, and small novelty shopping center. The steamer was retired in February 1977 when Singer bought it for $71,000, a Valentine's Day present for his wife. Since then, the ship has drifted from port to port in California in search of a home. No deadline has been placed on the project, but Councilman Barkley Tree Jr. says the ship could arrive as early as May. San Luis Obispo will be hosting Week of the Young Child in early April. More information on the activities comes from Leslie Benzaca.
Members of the San Luis Obispo community will have the opportunity next month to participate in a series of workshops, seminars, and activities based on children. April 1st through the 7th has been declared Week of the Young Child in San Luis Obispo. Christy Gossin and Holly Hewitt, both senior child development majors from Cal Poly, are planning events to run throughout the week. According to Gossett, 1979 was declared the International Year of the Young Child by the United Nations General Assembly and Week of the Young Child is one example of activities planned for the year.
This is just one specific week out of a special children's year, which is entitled the Year International Year of the Young Child. And this is just one week to put a special focus on children to honor and to celebrate their possibilities and potential.
Gossin explained what the week in San Luis Obispo will entail.
During the week before the Plaza Day, which is on April 7th, we are planning different presentations for parents to attend, workshops, seminars on such things as child abuse, single parenting, mainstreaming, and developmental stages of children.
The highlight of the seven-day event will be Plaza Day, which is planned to include both adults and children.
The Plaza Day for the Week of the Young Child is on April 7th, and it's a Saturday, and it will be held in Mission Plaza. Some of the things that we have planned for the children to participate in are math activities, science projects, art activities, music, language development activities, and dramatic activities. And then some things that will also be provided for children are educational entertainment, such as puppet shows, mimes, reading of stories, and then information will also be distributed to parents and to the general public as well from the centers and from different community organizations in San Luis.
Approximately 30 groups will be giving presentations, including the Child Care Resource Center and the Child Abuse Council. More than 300 people are expected to attend. There is no charge for the week's activities, but pre-registration is required before March 1st. For more information, contact Christy Goshen at 543-6148. This is Leslie Bensacca reporting for 91 News.
A public affairs presentation of KCPR, San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Sound.
Dance and have a good time with Sequoia Hall, Friday, March 2nd, in the Mustang Lounge, starting at 9 p.m. The cost is $1 to hall card holders and $1.50 to other Poly students. A contest will be held, and prizes, of course, will be awarded. So come on out and dance with Sequoia Hall, Friday, March 2nd, in the Mustang Lounge, starting at 9 p.m. Dance and have a good time.
Out of the 91 News Files, from A to Z, under Baby by Request. Well, no doubt you've heard an experience where someone's been overcharged, or perhaps even charged for something that they didn't ask for. That's what happened to George Schwenk of Los Angeles when he received a bill for $300 from the hospital. True, he had been to the hospital for an eye injury, but his bill informed him that he was being charged for the service of delivering a baby. George Schwenk figured that something was amiss, so he fired off a note to the hospital stating, "Please correct this error, or at least send me my baby." And in Denver, a new day has dawned, literally. It's the idea of city auditor Johnny D, who needed an extra day to pay bills. So D revised the calendar used by his office last year, adding the unfamiliar date of December 32nd. The reason, according to an aide, was to achieve tidy bookkeeping. When December 31st rolls around and the city balances its books, the aide said there are still some bills outstanding that haven't arrived in the auditor's office. That's from A to Z under A New Day is Dawning.
Tim Tomastic is at the editor's desk. Rusty Scherer is engineering. I'm Mike Medoff. In national headlines at this hour, President Carter has asked Congress to give him the power to order gas rationing, weekend gas station closings, and two other mandatory fuel-saving measures if there should be an energy emergency. The oil minister of Saudi Arabia says he expects a small temporary oil price increase by OPEC nations, but believes the basic OPEC price structure will remain unchanged. The cutoff of crude oil supplies has been blamed for the cancellation of some airline flights from New York, Chicago, St. Louis, and Kansas City, and a spokesman for ARCO Oil Company says gas supplies will be allocated starting Thursday.
Iran's government-controlled radio reports that a former Iranian general and 28 members of the Shah's secret police have been arrested in Pakistan and returned to Iran to face Islamic justice. Details on these stories and much more as 91 News continues.
On Wednesday, April 11th, the San Luis Obispo Recreation Department is sponsoring a trip to Magic Mountain. The cost of $25 includes round-trip bus transportation and admission, and all rides are free with admission. This trip will be during Easter vacation, which provides an opportunity for school-aged people to enjoy one of California's most popular amusement parks. Magic Mountain features many fun and exciting rides, including Colossus, the tallest, longest, and fastest wooden roller coaster in the world. And the music is always good at Magic Mountain, with live singers and bands located throughout the park. The bus will leave from the Recreation Center at 864 Santa Rosa Street at 6 a.m. on Wednesday, April 11th, and will return at midnight the same day. The trip is open to anyone 10 years or older. For more information, call 541-1000, extension 62. Remember, the one cost of $25 includes transportation and all attractions. Come have fun with us at Magic Mountain.
The Secretary of Energy says that some mandatory conservation measures may be needed to compensate for the loss of Iranian oil, but that rationing will not be necessary. James Schlesinger told a group of governors meeting in Washington this morning that mandatory restrictions may be imposed if the Iranian cutoff continues for 1 year. According to the director of Iran's national oil company, Iran will resume oil exports to some extent next week. He says oil will be sold on the so-called spot market, which means it will go to the highest bidder at prices above those set by OPEC. Saudi Arabia, meanwhile, says it will stick to the prices set by OPEC at least through the end of next month. Just yesterday, Kuwait announced a 9% price hike. Four other OPEC members earlier raised prices. The OPEC oil ministers are to meet in late March to try to straighten out problems stemming from the Iranian cutoff. Details of this morning's hijacking of a Soviet jetliner are still murky. Swedish authorities say four of the 24 passengers on board the plane hijacked it just before it was to land at Stockholm on a flight from Oslo, Norway, to Moscow. The plane landed as scheduled, and the four suspects were taken into custody. They are tentatively identified as one Swedish man, one Indian man, one Brazilian woman, and one West German woman. The Brazilian is said to have asked for political asylum. Nobody was hurt. Gas rationing may be an assured thing of the future. Here's 91 News correspondent Dave Curley with that story.
The White House says it will reveal details today of President Carter's congressional request for power to order mandatory fuel-saving steps in case of an emergency. Administration sources say the measures include gas rationing, closing gas stations on weekends, and setting temperature limits in public buildings. This is Dave Curley for 91 News.
Chinese Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping says he believes China eventually will join the International Monetary Fund, but he told a Japanese news service that would come only after his nation settles the question of relations with Taiwan. Deng's statement was made during an interview in Peking yesterday with the president of the Kyoto News Service. The IMF was founded by the United Nations in 1944 to oversee negotiations aimed at stabilizing the world's monetary system. It has more than 100 members. Deng also said China is considering membership in the Regional Asian Development Bank. As for the Taiwan question, China's finance minister told Treasury Secretary Blumenthal yesterday that Taiwan should be removed from the IMF and Asian Bank. A federal appeals court in Chicago has thrown out a $34 million settlement between General Motors and customers who unknowingly bought Oldsmobiles with Chevrolet engines. The court says the settlement is an accept-or-else agreement, meaning that buyers have little recourse but to accept the $200 and extended warranty. And in its ruling yesterday, the court said the federal judge who approved the settlement did not exercise enough control over the negotiations. The settlement proved that GM gave $200 cash to each of the more than 66,000 persons who bought 1977 Oldsmobiles containing Chevy engines. Several court observers agreed that by throwing out the settlement, the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals opened the door to individual suits by all owners of such cars. Japan exported 66% fewer television sets to the United States in January of this year than it did in January 1978. According to the Finance Ministry, Japan sold 43,000 units to the United States, and the January export figure was down a bit more than 50% from the December figure. Overall exports, including those to the U.S., were down about 33% from the same month a year ago. That was due mainly to the drastic decline in exports to the U.S. In California headlines, another 300 United Farm Workers Union members joined the nearly six-week-old walkout in the Imperial Valley today, bringing to 4,500 the number of farmhands on strike. Acting Governor Mike Curb, meanwhile, says changes are needed in the Agricultural Labor Relations Act to prevent labor turmoil like the UFW strike. Curb also told reporters he plans to sign a bill passed by the state Senate today that would repeal the controversial $18 million anti-litter tax for most of the businesses that face payment on Wednesday. President Carter plans to speak at a $1,000 fundraising banquet Friday night in Los Angeles, but Vice President Mondale reportedly might go in his place if Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin arrives in the U.S. for renewed peace talks. Details on these stories and all the major California happenings coming up in just a few minutes as 91 News continues.
Today in a school in this city, there's an empty seat in the middle of a classroom. It belongs to a small child named Pete. Pete's now lying in a hospital bed, and he misses his teachers and friends very much. This little boy and other children like him need your help, your gift of blood. Please call your Tri-County's blood bank and share a pint of life. For Pete's sake, don't wait. Call 543-4290 for your appointment now. That's the Tri-County's Blood Bank. Give a gift of life. For Pete's sake.
Student services at Cal Poly are likely to be reduced if the Board of Trustees for the California State Universities and Colleges has its way. This report was announced by the Chancellor's Office at a conference for the chairman of various student health advisory councils throughout the state. Jeff Land, chairman of the Cal Poly Health Council, represented the school at the conference. He explained what student fees cover.
Students pay every quarter through the registration fee. That includes things such as counseling, testing, placement, disabled students, financial aid, and the health center.
The Board of Trustees plan to cut $20.6 million from the CSUC budget for the coming fiscal year. The board plans to make part of the cut from the student service budget, although some opposition has risen, especially from the health councils.
Most people in the student services area feel that the cuts should not be taken out of student services because that money comes directly from the registration fees. And once you begin to move the money from student services area into the general fund area to go to academics or any other area of the campus, it's now a tuition. It's no longer a student services fee. Once this happens, the reality of California having a free higher education system is no longer true.
The board has not announced how much they plan to cut from the entire budget, although Land says the figure of $500,000 has been mentioned as a reduction from the health service staffing budget alone. He explained how this could affect Cal Poly.
According to Dave Travis in the Chancellor's office, this $500,000 cut will come in at a restaffing formula of the health services throughout the CSUC system. What this will affect, basically, is we'll have more niche practitioners and less doctors on the whole.
Land expects to receive more definite information from the Chancellor's office next week. This is Leslie Bensacca reporting for 91 News.
A public affairs presentation of KCPR, San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Sound.
In California news, a state report concludes that California has experienced a dramatic reduction in the rate of growth of energy use in the last 2 years. The Energy Commission's draft report also notes that a major problem facing the state is proliferating federal rules affecting the energy field. On the topic of 1977-79 energy consumption growth rate, the study says a factor in the slowdown were sharp price hikes following the 1973 Arab oil embargo. The study adds that the decline in overall consumption has occurred even though the state continues to score records in total gallons of gasoline purchased. A Beverly Hills man described as the biggest narcotics dealer in 20 years has been sentenced to 8 years in prison for possessing cocaine valued at more than $3 million. 43-year-old Joseph Castaldo also was given a special 10-year parole term yesterday by a federal judge in Los Angeles. Castaldo was convicted in January of possessing more than 8 pounds of the drug. The cocaine, seized with a search warrant, reportedly was taken from a safe in Castaldo's Beverly Hills office. Lieutenant Governor Mike Curb is taking over while Governor Brown attends a general governor's convention. Now, here's that story.
While all around him are saying no or go slow, Governor Jerry Brown is carrying on a one-man campaign at the National Governor's Conference in Washington for a constitutional amendment requiring a balanced federal budget. Brown has told the governor such an amendment is the only way to restore fiscal responsibility to the federal government. Many governors say they don't favor such a measure, while others say the matter should not be rushed into. Meanwhile, while Governor Brown is in Washington, acting governor Mike Curb is calling for changes in the Agricultural Labor Relations Act to prevent labor turmoil like the ongoing United Farm Workers strike in the Imperial Valley. Emerging from a closed-door meeting with the growers and ranchers yesterday, Curb said those he talked with believe the Agriculture Labor Relations Board has tended to reflect the union viewpoint and that the farmers feel totally frustrated. At the start of the meeting, Curb signed his first executive order, creating a 21-member commission on agriculture to promote the state's number one industry. He also told reporters he will sign a bill passed overwhelmingly by the Senate yesterday to repeal the controversial $18 million anti-litter tax for most businesses that face payment tomorrow. It exempts all retailers plus small wholesalers and manufacturers with fewer than 3 employees. This is Dave Curley for 91 News.
Do some people have the ability to see things that most of us can't? With a report on psychics, here's Bruce Tokars of the University of California.
The predictions of tabloid psychics may be fun to read, but in addition to being based on inside knowledge, they may be dangerous. Dr. Robert Morris, an expert in parapsychology and a visiting lecturer at UC Irvine, says an example of a dangerous prediction is one dealing with the potential assassination of a public figure by the emotionally disturbed.
The concern here just simply is that reading that such a thing will take place as a psychic prediction may increase their tendency to carry out their particular intention. The notion being that if in fact the psychic has predicted that it's going to take place, well, then that might serve in their minds, as I put it, as kind of a cosmic validation that that they're doing God's will or whoever's will may have whispered in their ear that it's supposed to happen.
Dr. Morris says, apart from the potential dangers caused by such predictions, most well-known psychics are more well-informed than they are psychic, using their wealth of social connections to learn of personal information that is then offered as a psychic prediction. From the University of California, this is Bruce Tokars reporting.
Fair skies and warmer temperatures can be expected through today and tomorrow. Highs for today will range in the 60s, but will drop to the 30s tonight. Area temperatures are now 41 in Paso Robles, 43 in Atascadero, Arroyo Grande 57, Santa Maria 59, and 56 degrees here in San Luis Obispo. We'll return with more news when 91 News continues.
Think of an instrument that works for you 16 hours a day all year round for up to 70 years and more, with no replacements, just routine maintenance and care.
You've got two of those instruments, your eyes, and modern optometric care can help you see as well as you should. The American Optometric Association asks you to pay attention to your eyes. They may be asking you for a thorough professional vision examination.
Say yes to your eyes. Say yes to vision care.
The Learning Assistance Center is sponsoring a Test Panic Tips Temp seminar to help students prepare for midterms and finals. 91 News talked to a spokesperson from the Learning Assistance Center, and she explained what was happening.
And we're going to be doing a Test Panic Tips seminar this afternoon from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The seminar will basically focus on students and helping them to organize to prepare for midterms and final exams. And basically the philosophy of the center and of the seminar is that even though it may be at the last minute, there's still something that you can do in order to prepare for the exam.
The University Symphonic Band is putting together a concert for this quarter. Mr. Roger Heath, conductor of the band, told 91 News about the concert.
The concert is Saturday night, March 10th, in Chumash Auditorium at 8 o'clock. It will involve the Symphonic Band, of course, which is the main reason for the concert, but also some of the auxiliary groups, including the University Winds, which is the small select band chosen from the membership of the Symphonic Band. It will also include the Studio Band, which is a jazz outlet for some of the members of the Symphonic Band. We'll also have the Woodwind Octet, which will be doing a Mozart serenade, which is just really nice, we think. The Dixieland Group will perform. The percussion ensemble will perform.
Mr. Heath also said the music would be diverse in style and should be an enjoyable evening for all. Dr. Shirley Hill, a nationally recognized leader in the field of mathematics education, will speak at Cal Poly on Thursday afternoon, March 1st. Some critical issues concerning high school preparation for college mathematics is the title of the speech to be given in A11 in room 148 of the Mathematics and Home Economics building. A talk on the role of basics in mathematics teaching will be presented by Dr. Hill later that evening at 7:30 in room B5 of the Science building. Both lectures are open to the public at no charge. A hopeful for City Council, Alan C. Bond, is not running on any particular issue in the March 6th election. Bond is the director of the County Victim Assistance Unit. He says a councilman's job is to listen to his constituents and accept the advice of citizens' advisory groups. Bond says he is motivated by his desire to see the City Council change from what he sees as an adversarial role to one of cooperation with the people. When Proposition 13 was approved by the voters last November, renters were hopeful that apartment owners might pass along some of the savings from property taxes. Most were disappointed, but last Thursday, residents of Mustang Village stood in line to pick up their refund. Residents were told that the tax money saved totaled over $6,000, and most students would receive a $17 check, while those with a private room averaged a $32 return. There's been a new development in the Napomo slaying of Frankie Souza. Correspondent Dave Curley has that story.
The Napomo woman, who police believe may have murdered her husband, still hasn't been formally charged. A preliminary hearing into the case was postponed yesterday to give authorities more time to conduct their investigation into the possibility there may be another suspect. That case is the case of Frankie Souza, who was arrested on January 24th, shortly after police discovered her dead husband in the couple's Napomo home. He was hacked with a sharp instrument and shot with a gun. The murder weapons have not been found. Mrs. Souza is free on $25,000 bail. For 91 News, this is Dave Curley.
James Adair, candidate for San Luis Obispo mayor, talked about the sign ordinance in a recent interview with reporter Leslie Bensaka.
James Adair, candidate for San Luis Obispo mayor, is against the sign ordinance the current council recently passed. He explained why.
They are requiring all the merchants whose signs do not conform with this ordinance they have passed to take their signs down and out of their own pocket put new ones up, which to me is gross stupidity.
Adair claims he is the only candidate for mayor who is not spending any funds on the campaign. He says public officials should not have to buy an office. This is Leslie Bensaka reporting for 91 News.
The Cal Poly baseball team will have to make the best of today's game against UC Santa Barbara.
Out of the 91 News files, from A to Z, under a new leaf. When Larry Flint took over as the publisher of the Plains Monitor, lots of folks in Jimmy Carter's hometown figured there would be lots of changes in it. But you can imagine their surprise when Lillian Carter, the president's very own mother, ended up in the center spread of the new Larry Flint publication. The center spread depicts a saintly Miss Lillian dressed in flowing robes, holding a dark-skinned babe from India in her arms. Looking out over the heavens is Mahatma Gandhi and a dark-skinned Jesus Christ. Sam Simpson, the editor of the Plains Monitor, calls the centerfold a tribute to Miss Lillian for her concern for people all over the world. 2 months ago,
Who would ever have guessed that Miss Lillian would one day grace the centerfold of a Larry Flint publication? From A to Z under A New Leaf.
Vegetables are the dieter's best friends. They're low in calories and have lots of vitamins A and C. And whether you munch them raw or cook them, veggies are simply great eating. Even if you're not a dieter, you'll want to read Vegetables and Family Meals, a 30-page booklet from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. For your copy, just send 50 cents to the Consumer Information Center in Pueblo, Colorado. That's 50 cents to the Consumer Information Center, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
The Cal Poly baseball team will have to make the best of today's game against UC Santa Barbara, as this will be the only chance the Mustangs have to play the Gauchos all season. Currently, the Mustangs are 5-3 in this young baseball year. Today's contest begins at 2:30 down in Santa Barbara. 91 Sports will bring you results later this afternoon. Unbeaten Indiana State has finally made it to the top of the UPI ratings. The Sycamores finished their regular season on Sunday with a 26-0 record and begin playing the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament tonight against West Texas State. Indiana State collected 29 first-place votes on the way to 511 points, well ahead of second-place Notre Dame. UCLA slipped from first to third place after splitting a pair of games with Pacific 10 opponents. One coach still isn't convinced and voted Indiana State ninth in the latest ratings. No other coach voted the Sycamores lower than third. Big Ten power Michigan State, however, vaulted from eighth to fourth, and Syracuse advanced one notch to fifth. Duke, North Carolina, Louisiana State, Arkansas, and Iowa round out the top 10. A big week of college basketball tournaments will decide NCAA representatives this week. The merry-go-round of tourneys starts tonight with Missouri Valley Conference champion Indiana State at home against West Texas State. Tulsa visits New Mexico State, Drake is at Wichita State, and Southern Illinois at Creighton. Big 8 champion Oklahoma hosts last-place Colorado in an opening round game tonight. Oklahoma State is at Missouri, Iowa State at Kansas, and Nebraska at Kansas State. The Southeastern Conference tournament opens tomorrow night. In opening round games is Alabama-Florida, Kentucky-Mississippi, Mississippi State-Georgia, and Vanderbilt-Auburn. A decision will be made Friday whether Kansas City All-Star third baseman George Brett will have to undergo surgery to repair calcium deposits in his right thumb. Brett returned to Kansas City from the spring training site at Fort Myers, Florida over the weekend and was examined by Dr. Bill Benson. Brett will remain in Kansas City this week for treatment of the thumb and will undergo another examination on Friday. He injured the thumb last weekend, that season, and aggravated the injury a month ago in a benefit basketball game. Brett led the American League in batting in 1976. One of the areas which a women's equal rights movement has made its presence known is in college athletics. A prime example is a new federal law, Title IX, which basically says that women's athletics must have an equal proportion of money as their male counterparts. In this two-part mini-series, I talked to women's basketball coach Dr. Mary Stellard and asked her about that subject.
You mentioned Title IX. How is that affecting women's sports and basketball?
Well, we're getting more money for the program, and I think, as I mentioned a second ago, that before Title IX, we had women's programs, but no one really knew about them, no one really cared, except the athletes and the coaches involved, and certainly we've seen a change in the emphasis. We've gone from just a short few years ago to 12 and 15 game seasons, and this year we'll play 29 games, which is about the same as the men. And I've seen that change. Title IX, you know, none of the schools are really in compliance with Title IX, but they're working toward it. And hopefully it'll become what I feel would be equal for the women.
What is the extra money? Is that going to be used? Is that for like recruiting and scholarships, such things as that?
Yeah, we're getting more money to travel. That's why we're able to extend the schedules as much as we are. A lot of the schools in our conference, for example, have money to travel to the Midwest and to the East. We haven't gotten that far yet. We have to get into, you know, talking about gate receipts also. I think if we get enough publicity, I think there are a number of women's sports here at Cal Poly that can make money. Volleyball can, gymnastics can, I think basketball can.
In the second and final segment of our discussion with Mary Stellard, the women's basketball coach will evaluate her team's performance this year and discuss some improvements for the future. From the So You Think Golf is Just a Simple Game department comes this word about a most difficult course in Umtali, Rhodesia. at the Hillside Golf Club. When members talk of assaulting a bunker, they don't necessarily mean what you think. Recently, club directors issued a rule that allows a player whose shot has landed in a mortar shell crater to move his ball without penalty. It seems that the course was hit by 21 mortars during an artillery barrage by black nationalist guerrillas. That's a look at 91 sports for this half hour. We'll have more sports in 25 minutes. I'm Dave Bonner reporting. Now here's Mike Medoff with the top stories of the hour.
The California Energy Commission says increasing federal rules and use of rural areas for power plant construction are two of the state's biggest energy uncertainties. The report warns of rural areas becoming so-called energy colonies and says state, local, and federal guidelines are often in conflict, making decisions difficult, if not impossible. Entertainment giant MCA Incorporated reports a record profit of more than $128 million for 1978, a 35% increase over 1977 profits of more than $95 million. MCA President Lou Wasserman also says for the first time in the history of the Los Angeles-based studio, total revenues have topped the $1 billion mark. Birds will have to fly the coop in Van Nuys to make way for bigger beer production at the Anheuser-Busch production plant, which is undergoing a multi-million dollar expansion. The decision to take away the birds ends the 13... 13-